Today in Business from Wired.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. You know, some things take a lot of work, like sending little robots to far-off distant planets. And just as that's challenging, so too is running a successful e-commerce business, especially when there's so much to do. So I want to introduce you all to ShipStation. Now, I love using ShipStation because of its easy-to-use dashboard, which makes managing orders and printing labels a breeze and super smooth. Oh, and the customer service is just out of this world. It's exactly what you need to help grow your business. Sign up for your free 60-day trial at ShipStation.com/technews. That's ShipStation.com/technews.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As we migrated more of our business to the cloud, we were seeing expenses go up, but we couldn't pinpoint the cause. It seemed less of a cloud, more of a fog. That's why we brought on Cloud Optimizer, and they saved the day.
Are you seeing your cloud hosting bills go up and you're not sure why? It's time to put Cloud Optimizer to work for you. Cloud Optimizer analyzes usage patterns, right-sizes resources, leverages discounts you may not be aware of, implements automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service.
With Cloud Optimizer, we have our spend under control, our company is more agile, profitable, and we're getting peak performance from our cloud.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Hey there, this is the Spoken Edition of Wired.
Palo Alto Networks has the broadest, most comprehensive cybersecurity for private cloud, public cloud, and SaaS environments because secure clouds are happy clouds. Protect yours today at go.paloaltonetworks.com/secureclouds.
Etsy needs to preserve its values to preserve its value, by Davey Alba. For Etsy, the Internet's best-known marketplace for all things artisanal, the past week has served up a heaping portion of unpleasant corporate reality. After revealing a loss of nearly $500,000 in the first quarter of 2017, Etsy said it would replace longtime chair and CEO Chad Dickerson. The company cut 8% of its workforce and said it wouldn't provide guidance on future earnings until August, when it hoped to have a better grip on its longer-term prospects. It's a far cry from 2 years ago, when Etsy went public and saw shares surge 88%. Less than a year later, those shares had lost more than half of their value and never climbed back. That's in spite of, or perhaps partly because of, a host of company initiatives, from launching a craft supplies marketplace to opening new headquarters and spending liberally on advertising campaigns. At least one activist investor hasn't been pleased. Black and White Capital LP, which owns about 2% of Etsy, released an open letter last week urging the company to reignite growth. The problem with such exhortations is that Etsy isn't just up against the clomping foot of big e-commerce, it's up against itself. Etsy doesn't just support DIY handcrafters and indie makers, it's tried to embody those same values. Public companies have a duty to return value to shareholders, which typically takes the form of growing and scaling. But Etsy's core identity often means taking things slow, the diametric opposite of the demands of mass consumption on which the likes of Amazon and eBay thrive. In other words, to succeed in a corporate context could mean sacrificing exactly what makes Etsy, Etsy, the values that give the company its value. The online world has seen massive changes since Etsy first came online a dozen years ago. While Facebook was still catering to college students, Etsy quickly rose to fame as the handmade alternative to Amazon. It thrived on a sense of values shared between the platform and the buyers and sellers it served. The company has long positioned itself as serving the community, and with that comes the benefits of having an incredibly loyal community, says James Cacmack, an equities analyst at Monness Crespi Hardt & Company. Cracks started to show in that sense of common purpose in the fall of 2013, when Etsy sought to redefine handmade. After much confusion and hand-wringing around what Etsy's makers could and couldn't sell, Dickerson led a change in policy that allowed sellers to hire outside staff and manufacturers to help produce their goods on a larger scale. We heard about a lot of sellers who were afraid to hire help or afraid to use any outside assistance because the policies weren't clear, he said at the time. We wanted to open that up to give sellers more freedom in their lives, not less. The change divided the Etsy community, even as sellers began to gain a new kind of freedom thanks to the rise of social media platforms, the freedom to strike out on their own. Ironically, that temptation is likely strongest for sellers who succeed the most on Etsy. A bevy of options now exist that didn't during Etsy's early years for setting up your own e-commerce website, collecting payments, and marketing yourself on social media platforms. Today, Etsy depends more than ever on the draw of its name for both buyers and sellers, drawn by the promise of a one-stop, all-inclusive service. Marketing yourself online is really hard. You have to have an email newsletter, an Instagram presence, SEO knowledge, says Abby Glassenberg, an Etsy seller since 2005 who has stayed loyal to the company throughout the years. Etsy provides a way out of that. Still, that loyalty depends in part on ensuring those buyers and sellers also continue to see Etsy as a platform that shares their values, a dedication to craft and independence that runs against the grain of mass consumerism. Etsy supporters and detractors both agree that Dickerson had his heart in the right place when it came to the platform. It's not a company plagued with scandal. The problem? You can't scale heart, says Grace Dobusch, a former Etsy seller who has criticized the company in the past. That tension between doing good and doing well has stayed with Etsy and, in a sense, is built into its corporate structure. Etsy is a B corporation, a commitment to its customers, workers, and investors that it will meet a high bar of social and environmental performance while it pursues profitability. The company prides itself on having a sustainable office building, running on solar power, and keeping tabs on its carbon footprint. In an industry where the record on diversity is positively dreary, women comprise more than half the company, compared to a tech industry average of about 30%. Only one-fifth of Etsy's engineers are women, but that figure is still on the top end for the tech industry. When Etsy went public in 2014, Dickerson asserted that Etsy would not have to choose between profitability and social responsibility. It's a commitment that has fostered loyalty among those who worked for him. Still, such idealism wasn't enough for those tasked with looking out for the interests of Etsy's shareholders, and now the pressure to grow has never been greater for Etsy. But the Etsy name still carries a great deal of weight as a symbol representing values that go beyond shareholder returns. Those values remain at the core of Etsy's identity, a value Etsy's new leaders would do well not to squander.